Guys, hi, welcome, George Massey's show. We're going to talk the other way. Episode 7. I had to check twice to make sure it was really that many episodes in. So we're going to talk the other way. Some forbidden love chat tonight. Hello, everyone. Dee Dee will be here. Kara is not feeling well, so she won't be here tonight, unfortunately. But Dee Dee will be here, so we're going to get into the other way and forbidden love saga tonight. I was kind of shocked, though. I realized that we were 7 episodes in. I've been good. Thank you, Workout Mama Maniac, or Workout Maniac. That's what I need to do, is work out, actually. I'm doing good. I was surprised that we were 7 episodes into the other way because we just met Sean and Joanna tonight, which is weird because we're 7 episodes into the season, and it's a long time. It's a long time. Oh, look who decided to join us. Dee Dee has arrived. Hi, Geek in the Kitchen. Hi, Nikki. Hi, Redhead Ginger. Hi, Myra. Hi, Dinky Doo Girl. I love these usernames, by the way. I love these.
I'm having issues with my phone. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, where are you? Where have you been? I don't know where you are.
I was resting you, and then I'm late.
I was like, oh, Dee Dee will be here in a second, right? So we watched. Well, I want to start with the other way, though, if you don't mind. I don't want to get into forbidden love just yet. So we're in episode 7 of The Other Way, and we finally met Sean and Joanne. And their story is really interesting for me. Like, this one, you know, we got Statler, we got Dempsey, we got Inky and Corona. But this one is interesting because they're already married, and she has 2 kids, and her kids don't know that she's married. And she wants to move to Ireland, and she has a 6-year-old. So, like, I want to get into that because I have so many questions about everything. And she's Italian, and, you know, Italians are very, very family-oriented. You know, like, you don't make decisions without your family when you're born Italian. You know, you're very family-oriented. So her mom, she's going to tell her mom on the next episode that she's been married for 2 years. So I was going to ask you, I know you're not Italian, right? You're not Italian, but if you were to get married, would you not, is it an option for you to not tell your family, your kids, or anybody in your family until you're ready? Or do you think that your family would need to be the person to approve that? Or do you feel like you could do whatever you want? Like, I just want to get your input on that.
Do whatever I want.
So you don't, if I, don't need your,
I feel like family. If I feel like my family needs to know, I'll tell them. And if I feel like that it's none of their business, then I won't say anything.
Okay. So you don't feel like you need your family's blessing to make any decision? Okay. So
I don't need my family's blessing for nothing.
Interesting. But I have to, we have to put into context that you don't have a 6-year-old. Because she has a 6-year-old son, and, you know, her 18-year-old, 18 is not grown, right? Like, 18, they still need their parents, especially at that age of all ages. But, you know, the idea that she would leave her sons to go and move to Ireland, it's just...
No, I don't want to judge that, no.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't want to judge anybody because I know everyone's situation is different, and there's factors we know, and then there's factors we don't. But it just seems really ironic that she married somebody 2 years prior. So that means her son was 4. Her youngest was 4 at the time. And then she's considering moving so far away. And she said that she would spend a month in Ireland and then 2 weeks in the U.S., which I don't know. I'm not like a world traveler, but how expensive would it be to travel back and forth that frequently? I'm pretty sure a flight to Ireland isn't like $55, right? I'm pretty sure it's like thousands of dollars because...
Well, it takes about a week to get here. And then what you gonna do? Sleep a couple of nights and then go back?
Yeah, the whole story is just... And also her oldest son, he was like, what would you do? She has an oldest son. He's 18 years old named Joey. And he's like, what would you do? Or hypothetically speaking, if I don't like him, we don't get along. He's like, would you choose, you know, him over me? Would I have to deal with the fact that this is the person you chose? And she replied, no, I wouldn't put you in that predicament. But hasn't she already?
But actually, she already has. She's already chosen them. She's already chosen that man over her children.
Well, see, I didn't want to say it, but you're right. Her marrying him and not telling anyone, especially her children, because even her son said in the confessional, he was like, "I would like to believe that me and my brother are the two most important people in her life." He said that, and I was like, "I don't know if you really are, bro," because she didn't bring you into that. Like when I was raised, my mom was single, a single mom, and she did date a little, not like crazy. But like she did, but she also like brought the person around, you know, and we got to meet the person. They usually were a part of the same like religion and stuff that we were. So it wasn't like she was dating like just anyone, but she was pretty open about it. Like we were able to meet the person, see them at church, go out to do things. I want to say sometimes a guy took like the whole family on a trip. Like, we would all do things together. So it's just interesting to me that she has, like, it's almost like a secret life, right? Like, it's like this secret life that she's, like, she's
a secret life. It is a secret life.
Well, yeah, to be married for 2 years, it's like you're living a double life because you have two kids and a family, a mom, you know, an Italian family. You know, I know on Sundays, you're always together, right? Like, you always have family dinners, I know a lot of Italian people, and the idea of doing this, it would cause a complete uproar in their family, right? Like, it would cause a complete uproar. Like, everybody would see you as a traitor, you know? Like, because family is so important when it comes to an Italian family. So it's just wild to me that she married somebody 2 years ago, never told anyone, kept it a secret, and then she's secretly planning behind her family's back to move to another country without giving anybody advance warning, especially her kids. I feel like, if anything, I know that her mom is going to feel entitled to that information, but her kids should have been entitled to that information first, right? Like,
See, like, even when they get over there, what is she supposed to tell her children if they don't like him? What is she supposed to say? Well, too late. We're already married. You ain't got a choice but liking.
Whoa.
After she told them that if they didn't like him, you know, she would always put them first. Well, no, she didn't put them first whenever she married the man 2 years ago. And then she's saying, well, I hope you like him. But if they don't like him, she's pretty much going to say, well, tough beans. You know, he's your stepdad.
Whoa. I mean,
how is that putting your children first? That's not putting your children first.
It's not. And I know that. See, I learned when I was a teenager that I was not the decision maker of my mother's happiness. Because I remember when she would date, I was like the anti-stepdad kid. Like, I didn't want any man around. But you know, Dee Dee, I was the biggest mama's boy you would ever find in life, right? Like, so I was like seeing these men as like direct competition from my mom. So I totally get that. But I also learned, you know, as a teenager, like, yeah, she's my mom, but she's also a woman and she is entitled to be happy outside of me. But I just love that my mom made me a part of it. You know, like I was able to, she didn't just go and get married and say, look, we're married, he's moving in, get your stuff out of the closet. You know, like it wasn't that type of situation. And I kind of feel like that's kind of how she did it. She was just like, yeah, I love y'all, you're my kids, but I want to be happy and I'm going to do what I want to do. And it's like, you don't have to let people make decisions for you, but you can also put them in the decision process, and it makes them feel like their voice is being heard. Because I feel like it would really hurt me if my mom went and got married behind my back and told me after the fact. I feel like I wasn't being heard. I wasn't a part of her life. You know, and with the younger your kids are, the more they need to feel like they're a part of everything. And I feel for the 6-year-old, you know, because the 18-year-old, he's grown, not really, but I feel like if anybody's gonna be okay, he might be okay. The 6-year-old losing his mom to go to another country, he's not gonna be okay. That is such a detrimental part of his development, having your parents around. And he's already dealing with divorced parents. That's enough stress on a child. That's actually too much stress on a child to start with. So adding anything else, like putting a parent in Ireland half of the time, is just really gonna be detrimental to his childhood.
Well, this relationship don't even, not only this relationship, but other relationships in the 90-day, you know, fiance world. Why would you do that if you have children that are still in school and you have 50-50 custody with your spouse, with your ex-spouse? Why would you go to another country and get married and then want to move over there? Like, it doesn't make no sense.
It doesn't. I mean, well, she said that she would never try to take the children with her. And she's like, well, I would never want them to, you know, to take the kids away from their dad. But I was like, well, what about you? You know, you're taking yourself out of the equation, you know? And it's like, this is just crazy. Oh, and also she's a psychic medium. And I feel like we've been getting a lot of psychic mediums and clairvoyance in the 90 Day Universe. And the ironic part, she said something really funny. She said something really funny. Hey, bestie. She was like, I didn't realize that I was doing a reading for Sean and that we were going to end up together. And I was like, ain't you a psychic? Shouldn't you have realized that? Like, I'm so confused when psychics say stuff like that, when they're like, oh, I couldn't, you know, I didn't really see this coming. And I was like, isn't the definition of your job to see things
when she
coming?
Said she was a medium and that extraordinary, whatever that word is they use, I was like, oh Lord, not another freaking Ashley. Yeah, I mean,
Ashley,
come on.
And Kimberly, the other Kimberly.
Yes.
She was a clairvoyant. We're getting a lot of them on the show. And, you know, I'm open to that. You know, I did a whole podcast series with a clairvoyant psychic, and it was interesting. I like to see things from that perspective, but also I question sometimes when people self-proclaim to be that, because I was like, some people are psychic and clairvoyant, and then I think some people, like Ashley, they like the idea of it, and then they just decide that they're a witch, or they're a clairvoyant, or they're a psychic, or they're a medium. You can't really decide. You either be born with it or not. You know, either you got the gift or you don't. And when she said that she was trying to do a reading on Sean, and she couldn't figure out, you know, his energy, and I was like, might not really be a psychic, right? Like, I feel like, because she was like, oh, well, we just ended up talking all the time, and it surprised me. And I was like, well, it shouldn't have. Nothing should surprise you as a psychic. Everything should be, like, whatever's going to happen tomorrow, you should be talking about it today, right? That's the whole point of being a psychic. It should not have actually surprised you. You should have figured that all out.
I mean, if you say you are a psychic, I mean, you're supposed to know, is your kids going to be okay with it? Is your ex-spouse going to be okay with it? Is everything going to turn out okay? Like, I mean, you should already know these answers.
Right. Like, psychics don't have to go through situations the way we do because they know the outcome before they start. So she should have known marrying him without telling anybody wasn't going to blow over well. She shouldn't have done it. I feel like they should have got engaged. And then worked on the relationship, and then she should have been, because also she didn't include her sons in her wedding. Like, I don't know if my mom was to get married and I was a kid and she didn't include me, I would feel really like a certain type of way, right? Like, I would feel like you didn't even invite me. Like, I wasn't even invited. Like, I'm not important.
My kids wouldn't let me. My kids would not let me hear the end of it.
Right? Like, can you imagine them asking, like, you had a whole wedding and I wasn't there? Not only was I wasn't there, you didn't tell me, you didn't give me the option of going, you didn't even like include me as though I don't even exist. Like, I would have to hide. Like, if I did something like that, my mom would come for me. She would literally, I would have to hide. I would have to leave the country. I would be, she'd have a manhunt to smack me across the face for doing something like that. She didn't raise me like that. So I already know if I did something like that to anybody in my family, I would be a wanted man. They would be like, oh, wait till I see you. I'm gonna smack you.
Then your face gonna be slapped on a milk jug.
Right? They're gonna have me on the news. Have you seen him? $500 reward. We need to smack him up. Bring him to me alive so we can smack him. That's exactly how she would do me. But I like the drama. I'm good with the drama. We didn't get Josh and Lily. So we didn't get Josh, who's in China with Lily, and they're in the elevator house. But we did get Corona and Inky on this episode. And I want to talk to you about this term, soft partnering. So basically, Corona has been soft partnering her, I was going to say say fiance, but I'm not idea. Her boyfriend, Inky, and she hasn't really been giving him full information on things in their relationship. She wants to soft partner him, which I guess the best way to describe it is she's withholding information and omitting information so they don't fight. So it seems like they have a more smooth relationship that they have because apparently she told him tonight that if she didn't pass this nursing exam, she was actually going to have to leave. And this was the very first morning that they arrived. She did pass it, but she wants to go to, I believe, Penn. It's Penn State, right? Which is a program that she got accepted in to become a midwife. And actually, I learned recently that a midwife is basically a doctor. This is a really, really good job. Like a midwife is like on the level of a doctor, and she's been accepted in a program. They only take 10 or 15 people out of 10 to 15,000. And she's been accepted, and she is for some reason in Iceland and not accepting this role at the school, which I don't know how to explain it. She basically threw away her life dream because she said the only goal she ever really had in life was to be a midwife. And she went over to Iceland to be with him. And I don't know if he's like, what's the word? Like, not personable. Like, do you get the feeling that he's not really excited about her? Or do you think he's just not a personable person? Like, I'm never getting any enthusiasm out of him when he's on screen. Like, he looks like he would be good if she was there or if she was not. Or is it just me?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. Like he's like like a bleh person. Like okay, whatever.
I feel like that. Like, he's good either way. Like, if she would have came, cool. If she didn't, cool. Like, I feel like he's good either way, and I feel like he didn't really have to do much to get her there. He didn't have to put a ring on her finger. He didn't have to convince her of anything. She kind of threw away everything and came to him. And maybe that's why he acts that way, because he kind of feels like she's obsessed with him. You know how if you meet people and you see a relationship and you can tell that one person is way more into the other person and it's not reciprocated? I feel like she's way into him, and it could go either way. Like, he thinks she's okay, she's fun to hang with, but if she was to get back on a plane and never come back, I don't
He'd
think
be
he would.
okay with that.
Yeah, I feel like it's either way. Like, he's having a good time. He didn't have to do anything extra to get her there. She's there. She gave up her dreams for it. He's still living his normal everyday life, and nothing is really going to change if she stays or goes. And there's a story floating around on Instagram, so if y'all want to know what's going on with them now, I'm not going to talk about it yet because I don't want to talk about the outcome of anything first. But if y'all want to know what's going on with Inky and Corona in the future, there's a story floating around that a lot of the bloggers have posted that gives you, well, it tells you everything. It gives you an idea of how their relationship turned out and what went down with them. So we're gonna stay away from that right now because we're only on episode 7. I think there's like 24 episodes, so there's no reason to ruin anything yet, right?
Only 24, just 24.
Only 24. We're gonna be watching
Just
this until like
24, that's all.
Christmas. I feel like we're gonna be watching this until
Oh
Christmas at least,
my
or
gosh.
Thanksgiving. You know, it's fine. I mean, I like the 1 hour episodes, but I do feel like right when it starts to get good, it just ends and it leaves me hanging, but
True.
it's fine. So I want to talk about these banana chips because we watched James and Tata's parents do a banana chip lesson. I thought I knew what banana chips were because I've had them at the store before. It's like the crunchy chips. This is not the same thing that we eat over here because they were putting cheese on it. And I was really confused with what it was. So this has to be like a Indonesian dish. It's not like the same type of banana chips that we buy like at the store because I was watching them make it and I was like, this isn't what I thought it was. But what really shocked me was they made like four packages. And then the dad was like, this would be $4. And that was crazy because there was a pretty complicated, complex process to put these banana chips together. They like put them on the thing, they put cheese on them, they baked them, they bagged them. Like, it was a pretty drawn out process. So imagine doing all that work
and the retail or the profit is $4. So that was pretty eye-opening, you know, because he's pretty successful. His house kind of looks like the Indonesian White House. So he's doing really well. So the idea of how many banana chips they're packing out a day, it makes you wonder. But they were really accepting of Tata and James telling them that they were moving here. And they even said that they were going to help them with their debt, because apparently they owe $15,000 on a car that doesn't work. And her parents were like, oh, well, we're going to help you settle this debt. Just don't ever take out another loan. And things kind of disconnected because James wanted her to not just translate in this conversation. He wanted her to contribute to the conversation. And then they kind of, there was a really big disconnect because she felt like they were burdening her parents. Her parents kept saying that they weren't. They were like, you know, you're our kids. We're gonna deal with whatever issues you have. We took on that responsibility. And then James was like, well, I want you to tell them, you know, I don't want it to just be a conversation between me and your parents. And then things kind of took a weird turn, right? Like Tata started like crying, like funeral crying. And then the dad was like, you need to kiss your mom's feet. And things just kind of hit.
That was weird. Like, why did she have to ask her mom for forgiveness? And then why did she have to kiss her mom's feet? Like, what? That threw me off.
I didn't understand what was going on because the mom kept saying, you're not a burden. I'm not upset. And then he was like, well, ask your mom for forgiveness. I was like, but she just said she wasn't upset. I didn't understand what was going on. And the kissing of the feet, I was like, that's
maybe getting into an argument with her husband in front of him.
Oh yeah, that could be. Yeah, they were arguing in front of them, which, you know, no,
they don't know they're arguing if they're speaking English.
Maybe like tone and body language. I've noticed that when I don't speak a language of someone, I can tell if they're like having a friendly conversation or not based on like tone and body language, because I've noticed that. But I don't know. Like, I have no idea why she needed to apologize, why she needed to kiss her mom's feet. And James was just as confused as everybody else, because he was like, well, I'm not sure what happened. He was like, I thought we were going into this conversation together. And I do think that he was right. I don't think they were ready to have this conversation. I think that they weren't on the same page. They didn't really have a plan. You know, when you want to break some news to someone like, hey, we're moving to your country. We have no money. We want to live in your house. We also want in on your business. You know, that's a lot to drop on someone all at once the day after you arrive. You know, so I think that they were pushing their luck. And then after that fight, we saw in the preview that Tata is now like going to sleep at her parents' house and leave James at the hotel that they got specifically to be intimate in, because they didn't want to do it in her parents' house. So things are looking kind of rough already for them. They just got there. And, you know, I told you right before he left, I was like, I don't see him making it very long in Indonesia. You know, I think that he's going to get over there. He's going to realize that the way to make money and the opportunities of how much money you can make are just going to be too low. Their expenses alone for 1 month in the U.S. is $700 every month for a car note that doesn't work. Okay, so I have a question. If you have a debt for a car, you owe $15,000 on a car, the car doesn't work, would you keep paying on the car? Or would you, like, let the car
go? No, we've already had this conversation. No.
Okay, because even if the car is broken, you can still, like, sell it to, like, a junkyard, right? And you can get something.
I mean, and then they still have, like, a car note. It's not even paid off.
And it doesn't work. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't work because, you know, there's all these apps now. There's an app called Toro where you can, like, rent your car to people. So they could, if the car worked, because I was thinking this for Statler, because remember Statler didn't want to sell her car. And I was like, she could put that car on Toro, and if she has somebody to manage the account, she could, you know, people can rent the car on the app, and then they pay you directly, and then they pick it up and drop it off or whatever, and you just need someone to manage it, clean it, put gas in it for the next person. That car could actually make you money while you're in the other country. And I think that, hey, Kobe, hey, Riley, I think that would be smart for them in that situation, but it doesn't work. So it does them no good. And I was like, I don't tell people to make bad financial decisions, but don't pay $15,000 for a car that doesn't work, right? Like, I think that's just common sense 101. You gotta bite that loss and, you know, move forward. You know, like, if you have a loan, and the parents were like, you should never take out a loan. And I think that that's really good advice. But in the real world, you know, if you want a car, the MSRP on a car can be 30 to 40 grand. Everybody just doesn't have that. A loan sometimes is just a necessary evil when it comes to, you know, the economy and with inflation and everything going on. A loan is just something that you can't really... Wait, Riley says, DD, co-sign for my next vehicle.
Not a chance, Riley. Not a chance. Do not start.
DD has actually told us that she wouldn't co-sign for her own husband. Like, there is no co-sign.
I won't co-sign for nobody. For
nobody, right? So I agree with you, though. Like, I know you and trust you, but, like, co-signing for me, that's just such a personal thing, right? Like, I've co-signed for people in the past and I got burned. So it's just so personal for me. I just don't want to do it. I would rather buy the car in my name and then let them use it. And then they pay me directly. That way, if they stop paying me, I could just go get the car. Right? Like, because if it's in their name, then I'm screwed. Right? But, like, so I think that I would.
Why would you want somebody else's car? That's what they like. That's what they wanted. You don't like it. You didn't want it.
I know. Like, that's just the only way that you
don't even make sense, George.
That's the only way you would get a cosign out of me. I'm just saying. That's the only way you're going to get a cosign out of me. It's like, it's impossible for you to get a cosign out of me. I wouldn't get a place in someone's name. Like, I'm not doing any of that. Like, I've learned my lesson early in life that money and, wait, I'd only cosign for George and Jamal and Riley. Oh, Kim, thank you. I'm on the list. I made the list. I feel so good. And you know I'm good for it, Kim. I pay all my bills. But even being, like, even with my best friends, we don't do, like, the finance stuff. Like, we don't like that. Like, I feel like friendships are always going to get sidelined when it comes to finances. I just don't like it. You know, it's just, I don't like to mix money and friendship. You know, I feel like that's a business thing. But, okay, so we're going to move on and talk about Statler. Wait. Before we move on, there was one thing about Inky and Corona that I forgot. There was, like, a bun day. So I was really confused. I thought they were talking about, like, hamburger buns. So apparently it's like a national holiday. Your parents spank you.
For Easter?
And then they take you to a bakery to get, like, the bun is actually like a stuffed donut. They actually looked really good, right? It looked like a filled donut. It looked really good. It was a really strange holiday. They even had, like, a special little paddle to spank people with. Like, he had the paddle, and it was just, it's really fun to learn about these different traditions in different countries. Can you imagine if we did that in America? You just were sleeping and somebody comes in your room and starts spanking you with a paddle, and then they want to take you to buy a donut. This is the craziest. Like, that just sounds like the start of a movie that I probably wouldn't want to watch. It's just weird.
That sounds like a fist fight to me.
Yeah, if you smack me, especially when I'm sleeping, we're probably gonna have an altercation. Like, for real. Like, I got spanked as a kid, but, like, when I was younger, not older. So, like, I don't even think I would like that. Like, honestly, I know some people are into that. I don't think I'm into that. Like, for real, I don't think I'm into that. Let's talk about this van. Statler saw the van, and she was a little relieved. So I want to get your reaction to the van. We saw the inside of the van. It has a shower. Remember we had this conversation about the shower, because I was like, how do you take a shower? Because I take, like, 3 showers a day. I live in Florida. So, like, if you go outside for more than 2 minutes, you're drenched in sweat. So you have a shower. So I was like, how does that work? The van has a shower. What were your thoughts on this? Could you, Dee Dee, live in this van for more than 24 hours?
No.
So it's still a no. It was nice. It was converted nicely. It had, like, a little sitting area. It had, like, a little kitchen. I was thoroughly surprised based on the fact that it's a van. I thought it was really nice because
We're trying to talk me into getting something like that because, you know, I do a lot of traveling out to California and other places. So, you know, I take my car and I get sleepy. I pull over in a rest area or a truck stop and I go to sleep in the back of my car. I mean, that's just how I am.
Oh,
they want me to do something. I mean, I'll get a hotel, but I'm talking like if I'm like really exhausted, I'll just pull over and just go to sleep. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter to me. So there is no way possible. They've been trying to get me to get one. No, I can't. No.
See, I probably wouldn't be able to sleep in it. Like, I remember when I was younger, I went on school trips. Like, we went, like, to Virginia, Florida, Chicago, and we took, like, those chartered buses. I couldn't sleep on them. Like, I was comfortable. I was fine. I just couldn't actually fall asleep. And it was really hard for me. So I don't think that I would be able to sleep in a van. But, I mean, for like a long drive, road trip type situation, I might be okay. Right? You know, I don't like long drives. So I would have to be in some way.
George, you were having a meltdown from Orlando to Tampa. You were having a meltdown, okay?
It was so far. Imagine
driving from my house where I live all the way to Los Angeles, California.
Oh no, there's no chance. I wouldn't do that. No, that's out of the question. I mean, like a couple of hours, I could probably deal with it. Like yeah, Riley, I can't stand driving. Yeah, Riley says he can't stand driving. I don't like driving, but I also don't like being a passenger.
I love driving. I love it.
See, I'm not
flying.
Flying is like if cars could fly, I would just fly my car in the air. I don't like the idea of red lights and traffic and how long things take. Like from here to like the good part of Orlando, it takes like forever. You know, like that's like, you know, when we were in the car driving to Tampa, I was like, oh my God, this is so far. What are we gonna do? Like I was like, good. It was a lot for me. So the van
and it was not that far. Oh my God.
It was far.
It was not far.
It was far. It took us like 2 hours.
No, that was a skip and a hop. Like I could have flew a rock. I mean, that's how fast we got there.
I could have flown to like Arkansas in 2 hours. Like that was crazy. Like we were still in the same state, Dee Dee. That was wild. Like why were we still there? Okay, so the van situation, we kind of know what's going to go on because Statler went online and spilled everything. But I was just looking at when she arrived. How she actually reacted to the situation. Do you feel like a lot of people are saying that Statler is the type of person that will commit to something that she doesn't want to do and then complain about it? Do you feel like that's true? Is that an accurate representation of what she did? Like, we know that she doesn't want to do it. We know that she's not happy, but she committed to it. And then she's going to try to make herself the victim in the end. Do you feel like that's kind of what she's doing?
Sort of, kind of, yeah. But remember, we've already had this conversation. Remember when her and Dempsey, whenever she flew over there for to see Dempsey, she's the one that wanted to move in with Dempsey the day she got there.
Yeah.
Okay, so for Dempsey to agree to all of this, she had to agree to do the van life.
Right, because they were going to live in that little tiny home.
Yeah.
Funny because she acted like that was going to be a problem. Do you remember? She was like, oh, I don't want to live in this little tiny home in the middle of nowhere and I have to use the bathroom in the woods. Now she's living in a tiny little van, you know, and she was actually pissed off at how small. And I guess the little tiny home didn't have heat. Isn't that what she said? It didn't have heat.
Yeah.
So now she's committed to something a step below what she would have been doing. And again, Dee Dee, how long is sustainable for van life? You can't do this for the rest of your life. I've never heard of anybody that moved into a van or an RV for the rest of their life. This is a temporary situation, right? Like, I don't know anyone who sold their house and moved into a car or a van. That's not a real thing.
Well, I know someone who sold their house and they travel in their RV all the time. But, I mean, they're retired, they're older, you know what I'm saying? But somebody like Dempsey and Statler or someone like me or you or someone our age, we wouldn't be able to do it. There's no way possible. The older generation, like the retired people, like loves to travel. Yeah, maybe. But the younger generation, no. They, I mean, no. Because you're confined into like a little 10-foot area. There's no way possible.
Yeah.
You're going to kill each other.
It's not going to work for me. I remember back when I was younger, I'd spent time on tour buses. Like tour buses that people use to go on tour. And I was claustrophobic with those. And I don't know if you've been inside a tour bus. They're pretty nice and they're spacious. But like for me, for a long period of time, I couldn't deal with like not being, and the motion of it also made me like sick, you know, oh, yeah. Like it was just too much. Yeah. But for some people, you know, there's a lot of artists that they live on tour buses almost their whole life. You know, like I've seen people who've toured out of 10 years, 7, 8, 9 of those years, and they're totally fine. I can't see that for me. And it's just weird because Dempsey and Statler, like you said, they're young. So to think that you're going to want to live in a van for the rest of your life and this is what you want to do. Because what if they want to travel to another continent and travel that continent? Do you have to put the van on a boat? Because that was another thing. Because they were like, we want to travel the world. But I was like, the world is separated by water. Most places, there's a large body of water that you would need to cross. So how exactly would you travel the world with a van? You know, like, I feel like it's very, it holds you to one continent, right? One country.
It's going to get expensive if they want to do that because they'll have to put it like on a ferry and then they would have to buy a plane ticket to fly over to wherever it is, unless it's one of those ferries that they can ride over with the vehicle. You add that up, I mean, it's going to be expensive. Especially depending on where they want to go.
Expensive.
And isn't Statler the only one working here?
Yes.
And then she's in $20,000 debt with her job?
Yes. She's the only one still working. Dempsey, I know that she sold her tiny home and her car. So I'm assuming that even though she's not working, I think she probably has money to contribute in some way. But Statler's the only one that actually was able to keep her job. And I think she had to because she took out a loan against the salary of the job. So I don't think it's an actual option to quit when you owe your job money, right? Like, so I don't think that they'll let you leave when you owe them money. I don't know a lot of jobs that will give you a loan. I didn't know that jobs were also banks. So good for her for having that decent job that actually gave her a loan. Because if I asked for a loan, they would tell me that we're not a bank. You know, like that's not what we do. If you want money, you go to the bank.
Sounds like a personal problem.
Hey, like, cool, you need money, cool. So doesn't involve us, but cool. You know, you should head to a bank and figure that out. You know, but she managed to get her job to give her thousands of dollars. So now I don't think it's even an option. Even if she decided to go over there and want to do van life full time, she's not allowed to quit her job because she owes the job money. And, you know, I feel like she's stuck in many, many ways. And I feel like all of this is because she committed to something that she really didn't want to do. And, you know, I think it's important that people stand behind their decisions. And I think it that, okay, I take leave until next live. I will aggravate you later, Dee Dee. Oh, I guess Riley's done aggravating you tonight, Dee Dee.
Bye, Riley. I'll see you next time.
Well, I'm interested in more on the Statler and Dempsey saga, even though we know where it's going. But, okay, so I want to talk more, though, about this Forbidden Love episode. So I want to talk about this Ashley and Muhammad thing because we were talking about them last week and Ashley's sister and Muhammad had a conversation at this zoo, kind of like a petting sanctuary. And he said something really interesting to me. He was like, I need to teach her a lesson because he called her sister ignorant and disrespectful and she wouldn't own up because he's like, well, she doesn't like me. And you know, in my culture, women have to respect men. And I'm thinking, like, she's not your culture, though. You know, like, when did it become a requirement for her sister to get along with him? You know, like, I have plenty of family members, they married someone, and none of us like the person. And we don't care. You know, like, it's not a requirement for us to like the spouse or person that you chose. And we don't have to respect their culture if we don't want to, because we didn't marry them. You know, like, you do, because you married them and you accepted them for who they were. We didn't. They just happened to marry into our family. And I think that the way that his approach towards anyone that's a non-Muslim is very aggressive. You know, he's just like, oh, well, you need to understand my culture. You need to know what this means to me. And he tells her how to dress and all the and who he should talk to. And because he actually mentioned that he didn't want Ashley to talk to her sister anymore. And I was like, well, that would have to be her decision. You know, like, if she wants to cut off her family, she would have to decide to cut off her family. You know, you don't get to decide that. But I guess in that culture, the man gets to make those decisions. I just think that when you're marrying into the Muslim religion and you're not a Muslim, especially if you're a woman, you really need to do your homework, because their religion, the rules and regulations of that religion, it really only affects the women. You know, like, the men are able to do as they please, dress as they please. They don't really have a lot of rules to follow. And it seems like it becomes the man's responsibility to micromanage the women of their religion and hold them accountable, which is also really scary too, because I feel like the women are always under fire for anything that they do wrong. They're always being watched like under a microscope. And I can't imagine what that's like. And we saw it also with, what's her name? Eli and Lori. And she's trying to become an Orthodox Jew, which is like a step up from being Jewish. You know, these are like the old school Jews. So they have like a lot of different rules and regulations too. And I know that religion is important, you know, and, you know, I was raised in the church and stuff, and I understand that. But I also feel like there should be a line between religion and real life, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like you shouldn't have to sacrifice who you are to be a part of a religion, especially one that you didn't choose, right? Like, so for instance, Eli bought Lori a Star of David necklace, which is basically the representation of being a Jew, you know, being Jewish. That is like their cross, right? Like, that is their symbol that you are proud of your religion. She didn't wear it because she hasn't fully converted, because she was like, well, I don't really feel like I should wear it. I'm not really actually Jewish. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like she should have worn it? Do you feel like that was a correct statement? Do you think that, because he was a little offended that she didn't wear it. So do you think that she should have wore it?
No, if she wasn't comfortable wearing it, then no. That's her opinion. That's how she feels. If she does not feel comfortable wearing it, then she shouldn't have wore it. Hands down. And if he got upset about it, well, no, well, that's his problem.
See, my issue with Eli, like, I don't want to get personal, but he said that in his story, he left his religion for 15 years and he drank, he tried drugs, he got tattoos. He, you know, rebelled for quite a while. Then he went back into the religion. And now I feel like he's holding Lori more accountable for being an Orthodox Jew than he held himself. And I think that bothers me, because I was like, well, you want her to cover up. Like, they live in LA. It's really hot, and he wants her to wear hoodies and pants and skirts and all this, so she's hiding everything to go to the gym. And it's like, you're holding her more accountable to your religion than you hold yourself. You know, and I feel like you're responsible for yourself and yourself only. So if she is not properly wearing the right attire, then that's between her and the higher power, right? Like, I feel like there shouldn't be accountability from him or from your husband. I feel like it works that way in the Muslim religion too. Like, there's always accountability from your husband or another person. It should just be between you and whoever you're worshiping, right? Like, I feel like everybody shouldn't be able to judge you in your religion.
I mean, I get there's all kind of different religions. Everybody has their own religion. But if you're going to be with somebody, no matter what culture they are, if you're going to be with somebody that's not of the same culture or same religion as you, y'all got to have a medium ground. Don't say, well, if you want to be with me, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to act this way, you got to talk this way, you got to dress this way. No. You know what I'm saying? Like the Pentecostal guy and his girlfriend. Okay, well, why? Who is his dad to tell? How you pronounce your name?
Linza.
Linza?
Linza.
Okay. That she's not going to get into heaven because she's Muslim. Who is he in? I grew up Pentecostal. Okay. My dad was a Pentecostal preacher. Okay. They don't dress Pentecostal. A Pentecostal wife and husband is always dressed to the T. The wife cannot by no, you have to wear long dresses or skirts, long sleeves, the turtlenecks, all, I mean, you can't, the only thing they want to be showing is your face. Your hair cannot be short. You cannot be wearing jewelry. I mean, none of that. They are not true Pentecostals. True Pentecostals live exactly to the T. So how is he going to go and judge her when they're not living to the T of a Pentecostal? The same as Eli. How is Eli going to judge his girlfriend because she's not this high, becoming a Jew? I mean, come on. And the other dude, I forget their name, but I mean, like, why? It doesn't make no sense. It does not make no sense.
I didn't like how the Chris's dad was like, "Oh, well, the only thing that can save you from hell is God," you know, and because he knows in certain religions they don't believe in God specifically, or they don't believe in Jesus specifically. I just felt like he was sectioning her off and attacking her personally, and I
Yeah.
felt like that was unfair because I believe that we should respect everyone's beliefs, even if we don't like it or believe it. You know, what people believe is what they believe, and we are not supposed to discredit or tell someone that what they believe is wrong. We can have an opinion, but I don't feel like, because I felt like he was like literally telling her in the church she was going to go to hell, you know. And I experienced a lot of that growing up in my religion. They were like, if you do this, you're going to hell. If you do this, you're going to hell. You do this, it was always what we couldn't do and where we were going. And I was like, I feel like that's a little too harsh when you're trying to win someone over, you know.
That's one thing too. That's why a lot of that's how do I call them? Whenever you're going, especially that to a Pentecostal church. I like going to Pentecostal churches because I have fun there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're fun churches. The only thing that I have against them is they want to pressure you into like you got to make a choice
Today.
right now, like right. And see that they're not supposed to do that. They are not supposed to do that.
See, that is exactly how it was when I was growing up. It was how many people that they could get, like at the end of every sermon, they were like, if you want to give your life to Christ right now, come up, you know, and they would do like immediate baptisms. Like, and it was like, I never understood it as a child. Like, why specifically they were always pressuring people. Like, if you were visiting the church, they would literally come to you and try to pressure you the first day you came to try to get you to get baptized. And then as I got older, I realized that, like, specifically the church that I grew up in, once you get baptized, you have to show your paycheck stubs to the, like, treasury department of the church, and then you have to give them a certain amount of money.
Know a church here
Yeah.
in my hometown that is just like that. You can, if you are a new member, you have to show them your check stub. You have to give them 10% of your check stub. If you don't have a job, and if they get and they help you get a job, you have to give them up to 30% of your check weekly.
That is
There is a
actually,
church like that in my hometown.
that's when I realized that I was in a cult, is when I got my first job. I was like 16 years old and I was a member of the church. I was forced to be baptized when I was a baby. And my mom was like, oh, you have to take your check to the church. And I was like, why? I would take my check to the bank. And that was when I first realized I'm in a cult. I didn't realize it, you know, because I was a child, but then I realized and I was like, well, how much? And then I was like, well, how much? She's like, oh, you got to give 10% of this before taxes and this and this. She's like, every dime you make, you know, you need to tell them. And I was like, this doesn't seem right. And then I realized why they were so gung-ho on getting new members, because that's more money, more people that are donating. They say donating, but more people that they were taking money from. And that's when I realized, like, oh, no, I have to get out of this. I was like, I don't want to be a part of this. This is definitely not what religion is supposed to be, right? And I feel like when they pressure you, it has something to do with money. And it's not that they are super, super gung-ho on saving your soul like they try to make it seem. More members equals more money. And I hate that. I really do hate that, because I do believe religion is such an amazing therapeutic thing to have in your life, you know, to believe in that, to know that there's a higher power, someone you can pray to and talk to. I think that's so important, but I feel like a lot of religions, they take that out of it, and it's just all about money. And but I hate
this day and time, it's nothing. It's about the money. That's all they care about is the money.
Yep.
You know, there's no more. I don't care what religion, what culture that you are. The priests, the pastors, the reverends, whatever you want to call them, they're not in it for the right reason. They're only in it for the money these days. Because how is it that the pastor, reverend, preacher, whatever you want to call him, they live in a mansion, driving brand new vehicles, and the ones that are having to donate is barely making it from day to day.
I learned that too. I remember the pastor lived so far away from the church. And then I realized, I was too young to understand it then, but I realized he lived in a good area. We all lived in the hood. I didn't realize it because I was too young to understand it. Because I was like, well, why is a pastor's house so far away from everything? And then I realized, and his car was always nicer than everybody else's in the parking lot. And as I got older, I started to realize, because I was like, well, this man only works 3 hours a week. You know, he only preaches 3 hours a week. So I was like, so how is he doing so well? And I was like, we were giving him the money. Like, that's when I was like, oh my God, this is a cult. I didn't even know I was in one. But now that I know, I want to get out. Like, I have to get out. Like, I just need to run.
Yeah. But these women and these men, they go over and they get their partners from other countries and other religions. They cannot force someone into their religion. If they are serious about their religion, if they actually live day to day by what their religion is, no matter what religion it is, then that person is going to see, hey, that looks like that looks like something I would be interested in. Mm-hmm. Let them want to get into that religion by themselves. You don't force somebody to get into a religion just because they want to be with you.
Well, right. You can say, hey, look, I go to this church. I've been doing this my whole life. Do you want to visit and see what it's all about? You can present the information.
Exactly.
But you can't be like, well, if you want to be with me, this is who you have to be, an Orthodox. You have to be Muslim. That's crazy. You know, and if you feel that way, like I always say this about Muslim men. I was like, if you want a woman to conform to your religion, just find a woman that's already a Muslim. And you don't have, like, there's so little effort to put in. She already knows and understands and respects what you expect of her. Like, why do you go and find someone so far from what your religion is and then try to change them? It would be so much easier, you know, like if you're shopping for clothes and you know the type of clothes you want, you would go to the store branded of the clothes you want. Shop for a wife within the Muslim community and you wouldn't have so much work, you know, on the outside. It's almost like they get off on converting and doing the work. Like, it's almost like that's like a prize. Like, they took a worldly person and they convert them. And it's like you get like a gold medal, right? Like, it's like they want to put in the work. In my opinion, I would rather take the easy way out. I would want to find somebody who already is a part of it. Then we can just coexist together. I don't have to teach them anything. I feel like that's so much work.
It is. I mean, you have to, if you want someone, like, you know, like we just said, if you want somebody to be in your religion, you have to tell them about it, you know, say, you know, hey, I'm Christian or I'm Muslim or whatever have you, you know, this is how I live. This is my lifestyle. if one day you're interested, we can sit down and talk about it.
Exactly.
But never force your religion on nobody. Never.
That's the quickest way to get blocked. Like, if you want me to do
yeah.
it, I'm going to block you. Don't call me. We not hanging out. You blocked. Like, I don't want to. I want to join because I want to join. Period. You know, because I was already forced in religion. When I was born, I was forced in. So you're not going to convince me. I would have to convince me. I'm the only one who's going to be able to convince me to do it. So don't even try that. All right. So we're going to wrap. I think we only have like a couple more minutes left, right? I think we've been on for an hour.
I think so, yeah.
So we're going to wrap. We're going to come back and talk about the part four. Oh, wow. We're on part four of the tell-all, right? Because we just watched part three.
Yeah.
So happily ever after part four. So there's only two more parts left. Then we're going to come back next week on Monday to talk about Forbidden Love and The Other Way. On Friday, I'm going to be doing a live with Kelly Mack from MILF Manor Season 2. That will be fun, so make sure you guys tune in for that. I'm going to post some promo for that. Also, Kara, get better as soon as possible so we can have you back. She's under the weather tonight. That's why she wasn't here. So everybody say a little prayer for Kara. Make sure she's doing better because we want to have her back immediately. And also follow Dee Dee. She's tagged in this video. Follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, GeorgeMassey.com. Enrich your podcast site from the George Massey Show. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Everyone have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you all really soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.